Psalm 51
for our text this morning. Psalm 51, and we'll be reading verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Last week, we started the fourth section in our exposition of Psalm 51, which we've entitled Prayer for Inward Renewal. And that given in the three verses that we just read. It is a prayer for sanctification. David now passes from the subject of justification in verses 1 through 9 to that of sanctification. In a very broad outline, we can divide this psalm in two basic parts, justification and sanctification. Justification, verses 1 through 9, sanctification, 10 through 19. That is, the two parts are a prayer for forgiveness and pardon, and a prayer for renewal and the renovation of his heart. These two aspects of salvation are inseparable and go hand in hand together for the believer. We must understand that the work of salvation is one work, and therefore we cannot separate sanctification and justification. For you cannot have one without the other. Now, after David's earnest prayer for forgiveness, there follows then this prayer for renewal and the renovation of his heart. Verse 10 brings out David's desire for sanctification, a thorough renovation of his nature. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We cannot find words better suited to express such a desire for holiness. David is praying for nothing less than a radical transformation of his heart. He's praying for a miracle. And it's very vividly expressed by these words, create and renew. Now, David was not content merely with forgiveness. It was not enough that God forgave his sin. He did not want to fall back into sin. He didn't want to relapse into sin. He was aware of the real problem. The real problem was the wickedness of his heart, and all his actions sprang from the wickedness of his heart. And certainly his sin would be repealed unless God created within him a new heart, a right spirit. And therefore he needs inward renewal, because he sinned because he's a sinner. He needed the creation of a pure heart, and the renewal of a steadfast spirit. He desires to be freed from the power and dominion of indwelling sin. The God that created this world and made man must come, and he alone can do this thing. So a true child of God is just as earnest about praying for forgiveness and justification as he is for sanctification and the renewal of the heart. Create in me a clean heart. That presupposes the almighty power of God. It's a word that's used for the creative power of God. It's the verb that's used in the opening verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By using this word create, David asked for nothing less than, as we said, a miracle. That God must create and change his heart. Only God can create ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing. Only God can bring into being what did not exist before. To make the heart clean, to purify the heart, is necessarily a creative act of God. It's a sovereign act of God. David was praying for the omnipotent God to transform his heart. The God that created the world by the word of his power would be by the word of his power that he would create David anew and creates us anew. We also noted last time this preposition in me. Literally, it is to me or for me. Create for me a clean heart. A clean heart means a pure heart, a morally and ethically pure heart, a heart that is no longer under the dominion and bondage of sin, that's delivered from the pollution and power of sin. David's begging God to do this for him. Do this for me. Please, God, do this for me. A pure heart is that gift of God that he doesn't deserve, and he knows it. It's by the grace of God that he will receive this. And David acknowledges that he was indebted entirely to the grace of God. And that's in this little preposition. Do this for me, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. The Hebrew word for renew, chadash, means to make anew, to repair or to restore. First, David prayed for a sanctified heart, and then he prayed for the renewing work of the grace of God in him. The term right spirit, kun in the Hebrew, means to be steadfast, firm, and constant. Within me means in the midst of me, that is, his entire being, all the faculties of his soul, his mind, and his will, and his affections. David's praying for a heart so strengthened, established and firm, that he would not fall back into sin again. Steadfast in the faith, able to resist the temptations of the evil one, to abide constant in the ways of God, grounded in God's grace and love, keeping his commandments. If we are to be strong, it can only be in the Lord and in the power of his might. And oh, that God might grant to us a steadfast spirit to stand strong in the Lord, as David prayed for here. Well, we move on to verse 11 in our exposition. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let us learn from David that by our sin we can hinder and interrupt the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We can quench the work of the Spirit in our hearts. We can grieve the Spirit to such a degree that we lose the assurance of our salvation. We lose our peace with God. We lose our joy with God. Satan, the accuser, can deceive us and work doubt within our very souls and feel like hypocrites. How can we sin like this and still call ourselves a Christian, we begin to think. We lose the sense of God's presence. We feel abandoned by God. God has forsaken me. I no longer sense his presence. This is what sin can do to us. David is struggling here with the assurance of faith. He's struggling with his relationship with the Lord. We see him struggling in other places in the Psalms. Psalm 13:1, he says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" And again, in Psalm 27:9, "Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." In Psalm 51, David, who was once vibrant in faith, steadfast in righteousness, a prophet of God, given inspiration to write the Psalms, a man after God's own heart, tender towards the will of God, a mighty warrior in the Lord's army. Now he's sunk so low because of his sin that he cries out, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." This vibrant flame of David's heart now has been nearly snuffed out. It was but a smoldering cinder now, and David was in a terrible state of spiritual declension. And this verse brings out his desperation. Verse 11 is the counterpart of verse 10. Positively, David prays in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Negatively, in verse 11, he prays, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Cast me not away from thy presence. Do not reject me, God. Do not reject me and cast me off entirely. Do not abandon me. Do not leave me in a state of sin and misery. David was praying that he might remain in the state and presence and favor with God, that he might remain enjoying peace and communion with God. He prayed that he might not ever be shut out from God's favor. He prayed that God would not withdraw communion with him. It was a plea that God would not remove the divine power from David's life. "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Here, for the first time, we have this description, holy, connected with the Spirit of God. It's the first occurrence in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit mentioned here has reference to the third person of the Trinity, the same in essence and equal in power and glory with the Father and the Son. Granted, David did not have the fuller understanding of the third person of the Trinity that we have due to the New Testament revelation. But nonetheless, David understood that the Holy Spirit personally acts in the heart, that purity and holiness of heart could not be renewed and would not increase without the work of the Spirit within him. The language, "take not," implies David regarded himself as still possessing the Holy Spirit. The Spirit still remained in David's heart, notwithstanding his great offense and grievous sin against God. Now, if you remember, the Holy Spirit came upon David when he was anointed by Samuel to be king. 1 Samuel 16:13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." And you remember that David was given inspiration by the Spirit of God. 2 Samuel 23:2. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." And as a prophet, he was given divine communications concerning the birth, the suffering, the resurrection, and glory of his seed, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. And this he writes in the Psalms. There's many messianic psalms that David wrote. And in Acts 2:30, we're told that about David, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So David was given much inspiration, much light concerning the coming Christ, the Messiah to come. And he wrote of these things in the Psalms. The Psalms that he wrote were composed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And my point is that David possessed the Spirit of God. And he now desired that God might not take the Spirit from him. There is an allusion here to the rejection of Saul. And David fears that he too might be rejected because of his sin, just like Saul. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. We already read 13, but we'll read them again together so you'll see it. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. David didn't want to end up like Saul. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David as it departed from Saul. And David feared that he might share the same fate as Saul, banished from God's presence and deprived of his favor. David didn't want to be rejected and from the presence of Jehovah, and to have another anointed in his place, just like Saul. So David is struggling. He's struggling with assurance of salvation. He's struggling if he truly has a saving relationship with God. The sin had so clouded his mind and clouded his thinking. And the bad conscience and the guilty conscience cried out to him, "You're a hypocrite. God's going to depart from you." There is a sense in which the Spirit can never be withdrawn from a true believer. And there is a sense in which the Spirit may be withdrawn or partially withdrawn. Some have interpreted this verse to imply that one can be saved and then lose their salvation. In other words, a man who has dwelt in God's presence can indeed be cast out. And a man who has the Holy Spirit may lose him and be lost eternally. But this reasoning is based upon false promises. For we know that God's elect can never totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace. The Bible is abundantly clear upon this doctrine. For no man can pluck Christ's sheep out of his hand or his Father's hand. Christ says they shall never perish. And for whom God did predestinate, them he called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. in the counsel of God. His elect stand sure, and they are eternally secure. We know this. It's everywhere taught in the Bible. David is simply asking God not to do what he will not do. It's essentially David's praying according to the promise of God. That God will not cast him off. That God will not take the Holy Spirit. What greater motive is there to pray but upon the promises of God? Knowing that God won't cast him off. Knowing that God won't take the Spirit of God away from him. He's praying on the promise of God. Well, there is a sense in which the Spirit can never be withdrawn. It's an essential mark of the child of God that the Spirit dwells within him. Paul says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, abides, resides, lives in you." Paul also says in Romans 8:9, "Now if any man have, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You see that latter part? You're not a Christian if you don't have the Spirit. You're not of Christ. You've never been regenerated. You've never been converted. The Spirit of God is a gift of God's grace. And His gifts and calling are without repentance. When God saves a sinner, the Holy Spirit regenerates the heart and indwells and sanctifies the believer. This internal grace can never be taken away, but eternally abides and always continues in the believer. The removal of God's Spirit from a child of God is an impossibility. For David to pray like this, it implies that the Holy Spirit had not altogether been taken away from him. This is the holy fear of a man who has seen the depth of his iniquity. It's the cry of one who knows the weakness of his flesh, the weakness of his own nature. I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Verse 5 of our psalm. He knows now the strength of temptation and the utter need of divine help. As David was overcome by temptation and drawn into sin, it would be the Spirit within him that would not suffer him and allow him to continue in it. The Spirit had awakened David to a sense of his sin and restored him to the paths of righteousness. If he continued in sin, it would be the evidence that the Spirit of God never dwelt in him. David's sense of sin, his confession of his sin in this psalm, his earnest and persistent plea for pardoning grace, his desire for a purified heart, prove that the Spirit of God never left him. It is those who have not the Spirit dwelling in them, who will run from God and hide from God and have nothing to do with God. David here is just the opposite. And although David understood the Spirit still dwelt in him, yet he prayed that the Spirit would not be taken from him. Well, secondly, there is in another sense in which the Spirit may be withdrawn from the child of God. Maybe it's better stated, maybe partially withdrawn from a child of God, from a believer. Sin and the continuance of sin makes the child of God feel deserted and abandoned by God. A guilty conscience alienates and separates the believer from God. And because of sin, as we've already mentioned, the believer can very readily lose their assurance of faith and begin to doubt whether their relationship to God is a saving relationship or not. By sin, the Spirit of God may be grieved so as to withdraw His gracious influences and operations within the heart. David knew he had, by his sin, grieved the Spirit and provoked Him to withdraw. The Spirit certainly was grieved by David's great sin. And now David prays, "Don't take the Spirit of God from me." How hopeless it would be indeed for God to withdraw His Spirit. The believer, by sinning, can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Apostle writes to the Ephesians, and why don't you turn there? Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth." They were guilty of slander, of strife, of the sins of the tongue. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." The verb to grieve is lupeo, and it means to make sorrowful, to offend, and to offend. It's a present imperative verb denoting that it's a continual duty of the believer, a responsibility not to grieve the Spirit. By the sins of the tongue, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The main reason why we should guard our tongues is because the Spirit indwells us. And when we sin with our tongues, it grieves and offends Him. Sin grieves the Spirit. And when the Spirit is grieved, He withholds the manifestations of His presence. He withholds His influences and operations in our heart and over our life. And the result is that the believer often no longer feels the presence of God. He feels abandoned by God. Yet the Spirit is not withdrawn in an ultimate or eternal sense. There is another verse I want to draw your attention to. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Paul giving a flurry of rapid exhortations says in verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." The Greek verb for quench, spinoumi, means to put out. Put out having reference to extinguishing a fire or a flame. Do not put out the Spirit's fire who indwells you. Figuratively speaking, of course. but a very powerful figure of speech. There is a fire, and the work describes the work of the Spirit within the believer. And Paul is saying, don't put out that fire. The verb is also a present imperative here, denoting continual duty, as with the former. The sins that Paul had warned the Thessalonians about would quench the Spirit. They would impede the work of the Spirit in the heart. He would withhold influences. They would lose the divine power to live godly lives. And the result would be a loss of peace with God, a loss of joy. Yes, by our sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit who indwells us. The more you sin, the more grieved He is, and the more He withholds the manifestations of His presence and power in your life. Yes, it may be only be for a season. And when He returns in the fullness of God's grace, the reasons why are known to God in His infinite wisdom. These are two vital exhortations for us today. Grieve not the Spirit of God, and quench not the Spirit. If we want to grow in grace, we must take these imperatives seriously as David did, who out of despair said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Spirit from me. Do you understand the reality that your sin can quench the Spirit of God and impede your growth in grace? We're all living with the hope of heaven, and that God is sanctifying us and making us more like Christ. And it's the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God that's making us more like Christ, renewing our hearts, purifying us. We need not impede the Spirit of God by our sin. If you think that God has abandon you, if you think that you may not be a child of God after many years of being a professing Christian, look to the cause of that. It may just be you are grieving the Spirit by sinning against God. We all grieve the Spirit, sadly. We're all in the same boat. But by God's grace, we'll grieve the Spirit less and less. Our Father, as we study this psalm and see more and more the heart of David and his struggle with you and against sin, oh, might we apply these things to our own life. Pray, Lord, for the gift of repentance and true repentance in our life. Not as a one-time act, but as a regular grace that we need to walk with you. We pray, Lord, for your help and grace in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.